All right, it's 8:15 on the ticket. This story reminded me of a couple of conversations that we have had in the past. One of those was when we were kids, and maybe still as an adult, we imagine as we're walking through a department store with our parents. We imagine when we go through the furniture section or the toy section, what would it be like to live in here? Could I get away with this? And in my mind, as a kid, I used to always think, if I could just somehow separate myself from my family, get over to the furniture department in this department store, crawl under the bed, nobody would find me.
Yeah.
Then they would have to close things down at 9 o'clock. And then when everybody's gone, I could get out and go to the toy department and play with all the toys. I could go over here to this water fountain and get something to drink. I have a bed. I have a whole furniture department, so I have plenty of places to sit and relax and sleep. And it used to seem like a magical possibility that I could live in this department store.
Yeah, I knew I could have done it. Video monitoring's messed all this up now.
Right. Yeah, back then, they probably didn't have video. They probably didn't have a security person. You know, maybe the mall did, but individual stores probably didn't.
Mm-mm.
So you could have gotten away with it.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys had the same fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anytime you walk into a store and it's set up kind of like a house,
mm-hmm.
the furniture section, it's so cool. And I've always wanted to run from bed to bed, you know, when they have all the beds lined up and the mattress department at a Sears or something like that.
We got 10 stacked up.
Yeah, and you could run, see if you could do one leap per bed.
God, that would have been great.
How long do you think you could have lived in the department store? Was there enough food in there? Like, Sears, I remember, had a little slurpy cotton candy counter. Remember that in the old Sears stores?
Mm-hmm.
So you had some food there.
That was probably your best bet. Sears, JCPenney, although I don't think they had the foods, unless they had the gourmet candy at Christmas time or something like that, that you thought you could have survived on.
How about just living in a mall? How long do you think you could live in a mall? And provided that all the, let's say that you were allowed to do it, so you weren't afraid of getting busted.
That was your job, and you were the night watchman, but you got to live there.
And you had access to all the stores.
So at night, when they're locked, you can go in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's your place.
Oh, you could live forever, because you'd have access to the food court.
Yeah, I'll love.
Okay, how long?
I'll make that offer right now if any mall wants to hire me.
How long before you'd be beaten, though? You would be creeped out living in a 2 million square foot house.
It'd be a little weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird, but
it's all dark in there, and
it's got lots of stuff.
So ghost towny, though.
Lots of stuff to occupy your time.
I know, but I'm telling you, I think it would work on your psychology so badly.
And you're by yourself, right? You can't have friends over to play wiffle ball.
No, there's no
court
friends
or anything.
It's just you inside a mall every single night by yourself.
You'd go crazy.
It would be weird
because it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
So we've got a story from Philadelphia that talks about exactly what you're talking about, Gordo. This is from the Philadelphia Inquirer. A Vietnam veteran says he'd lived in a self-made apartment inside Philadelphia's now demolished Veterans Stadium for several years in the 70s and 80s as the Eagles and Phillies held games there. His name is Tom Garvey. He's now 78, and he wrote about his secret apartment in his book, The Secret Apartment, Vet Stadium, a Surreal Memoir. It was published a couple of months ago. And Garvey said that he worked a number of odd jobs after returning from the war in 1969. He was eventually given an office and keys to a veteran stadium entrance while running parking lots outside of the sports complex through a company owned by his uncles. So they got him a job at the stadium working out in the parking lot. And somehow he got keys to the stadium via this job. Across from his office was an empty 60-foot by 30-foot concession stand that he secretly refurbished into an apartment using AstroTurf for carpet and creating a makeshift kitchen out of a sink and a hot plate.
Beaten.
That's pretty beaten.
He said he lived in the secret apartment located by the stadium's Gate D between 79 and 81. in an interview with the Inquirer, which corroborated his story with multiple people, Garvey said that he would hold secret parties with Eagles players and their wives.
What?
And once watched a Phillies doubleheader in a bathrobe and flip-flops. So he wandered out of his apartment to watch a few innings of the Phillies doubleheader.
Yeah, just see what's up in the game and then go back to bed.
He says he loved it. He told the Inquirer, quote, "I was like a kid with a Willy Wonka golden ticket." He left the job and, of course, his apartment in 1981 when his uncle's contract at the stadium ended. The vet was torn down in 2004, so any physical proof of his apartment no longer exists. But looking back at the years in the stadium, he told the Inquirer that the most memorable nights were when no games were going on and he was alone amid 65,000 seats.
So creepy.
He said, "I've been busy for so many years, and when I came home from the war, this gave me the opportunity to put things into perspective. I found it to be healing to be in this giant place that I had all to myself." He said it made me, give me the ability to find a little bit of peace in my life. So he liked what you were talking about, bro, being in this square foot empty thing by himself.
I know, but that just, I don't know, maybe I would have a similar reaction to sort things out. Imagine.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I bet this happens more than you think. I know someone who lived in the stadium for, I'm trying to get confirmation of how long it was. I want to say it was at least half a year.
Lived in a stadium.
Yeah.
Illegally.
Yeah, it probably would have got somebody in some trouble.
It wasn't certified as residential.
Yeah, I think
on
it's
the
okay now because
rolls.
The stadium has been torn down. Wait, I may be getting confirmation here, but
all right, this is breaking.
Y'all met this guy. Y'all met this guy. This was 20 years ago when I was doing the games at North Texas. And you met Captain Rex.
Oh, yeah.
He used to be the video coordinator at North Texas.
Was he the dude that took us out on the underpowered boat?
Mm-hmm. When he lived
out in the Pacific.
Out in the Pacific when he lived in California. I think he lives in Australia now. I think he may be listening right now. He listens to the show still. But I think the story was he just got tired of, he spent so much time up at the athletic department, and his office was underneath the east side stands at Fouts Field. He spent so much time up there, I think either he got tired of paying rent or was just, I don't know, maybe he got thrown out of his apartment, but he just said,
that's a red flag.
I'll live here. And he was in what used to be, I think, a long, long time ago, the old weight room below the east stands. And sometimes he would have rat visitors to,
yeah.
But he had a bed in there and he just lived there.
He had a bed.
Yeah.
Like from his apartment. He moved some of his furniture in there and people didn't notice? Like guys
not
in there
really.
Lifting weights?
No. I mean, it was the old weight room.
Peggy,
so
keep it down?
No. they weren't lifting there anymore. I mean, it was when Mean Joe played there, I think it was the weight room. It was an old, I mean, just in the dungeon, basically. Nobody went down there. He was the only one who would go down there.
How funny.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's equipment guys or video guys around the country. It would be much harder to do now because every stadium, I'm sure, is monitored with video. But back then it wasn't, and yeah.
Hey, you know what? I think we've learned over the last couple of football seasons that Baker Mayfield lives at the Cleveland Stadium.
Right.
Funny commercials.
He's very public about that.
Yeah, he's okay with it.
You know, storage facilities have a problem with this.
I've heard about that.
They have to monitor their units because people will sometimes try to live in a storage unit that they've rented.
What a beatdown.
I know. And so those people who have managed to do it successfully have had to evade, you know, the security at the storage unit facility.
How would
and
you
they
do
have
that?
To I don't know how they do it. I mean they'll run garden hoses in there to get water. They do all kinds of tricks in order to prevent people from discovering that they're actually living in their storage unit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Boy, we're getting a lot of stories of things like this. P1 Dallas in Dallas says, "I worked at Macy's Herald Square in the 80s. During training, they told us that a family lived in the store for several years. And once they discovered, they added dogs to the security detail."
Jeez.
amazing that they could get away with that.
Yeah. Lived in Macy's, the department store dream.
But living at the stadium, though, too, especially if you grew up in Philadelphia, you're at the Vet, or if you grew up here and way back in the day, you were living at Texas Stadium,
mm-hmm.
there would be something really awesome about that.
For a week.
You would get tired of it, but if you were just kind of a dude who kept to yourself anyway, you know, you just did your job and then you didn't need much in life.
Broom closet you converted into an apartment.
Although you could have your buddies over to for pickup football games on the field.
Hey, you guys want to play tonight? I'll turn the lights on too. We'll get the PA going.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Now, living in a modern stadium would be easy because the suites are amazing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like if you had access to those, that's an easy life.
Yeah.
Old Texas Stadium was just a concrete bunker, wasn't
right?
it?
Right, yeah.
And they had suites, but, you know, even before they put in a lot of those suites, that would be more of a beatdown to live in.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the story we had a year ago, I think? It was before the Pandy hit. But that minor league... Oh, no, you know what? It was right after the Pandy hit, and this is how this baseball team was going to make money. That minor league team in Florida put their stadium on Airbnb. Remember, you could rent out the stadium and you could sleep in the luxury suites for a night or a week if you wanted to. And you had access to the field and all of that. So it's kind of a thing.
Okay, I've got confirmation. Rex spent a lot of time there. It was not him. It was actually a North Texas assistant coach who lived there for at least a year.
It was a coach?
Yeah. And he's by himself, didn't, you know, just got to town. Thought, I'll make this work.
Wow.
And again, that's a guy who spent so much time up there.
It's like me in the early days of the ticket. Slept up under my desk.
Pretty much.
Lived up there all day.
Yeah. Say Belichick a lot of times will sleep in his office.
Yeah.
So this is kind of just another way, and he found an old room and just slept there.
So do more people live stealthily than we think?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're
out there.
There's like a, you know, that's happened a lot with van life since the explosion of van life. A lot of people will create these vans that they live out of, and they'll create a stealth van. So, you know, there's the certain kind that you can tell is like a Class B RV. It's a small, it's a van, but you can tell it's a recreational vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people try to create vans that can blend in with the urban scape. Right. So it looks like a contractor van out there so they can park on the side of the street and they'll be in there sleeping, but no one can detect them because they don't have the big rooftop air conditioner or the big side windows where you can kind of see that there's lights on inside there. So they create a van in which they can sleep inside urban areas just parked on the side of the road.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do they have some sort of little generator or something going to give them air? And
usually they'll use batteries. Yeah, they won't run a generator because you can hear a generator.
Right.
But they'll have a battery system that they can maybe run a little bit of ventilation at night, but you got to hide that too because anything that a cop can walk by and hear something going on, you can get busted and thrown out.
That makes you nervous. A cop comes by and shines the light in there.
I'm telling you, all stealth living should make you nervous.
Yeah.
You're always scared of getting busted.
You know, we've had stories in the news about people trying to play on squatters' rights, and someone goes on vacation or moves out of a house, and they move in. And in this state, they have squatters' rights.
So wrong.
That's kind of stealth living. It's also really wrong.
Yeah. I'm glad this guy's writing a book about it, though. How interesting is that?
Mm-hmm.
Just to live at the Vet.
Hey, and back then, the Eagles were pretty good.
Yeah.
They went to a Super Bowl. The Phillies won the World Series.
He got to see him beat Danny and the Cowboys in the NFC Championship.
That's right.
After the 80s season.
He was living there during a good time period for Philly sports.
Yeah.
Somebody says Rudy lived at Notre Dame Stadium. Is that right?
The real one or in the movie?
I don't know. I've always refused to see the movie, so I don't know.
I don't remember that in the movie, but maybe he did.
Well, that's what Rudy's claiming anyway.
Such an inspiration to us all, that Rudy.
Maybe it's the survival.
Remember when Craig got one of the cameos from Rudy? Somebody hired Rudy to do a cameo for Junior.
That was a genius move by that P1.
That was $60 well spent, whatever
great.
His rate was.
I'm surprised we don't get cameo trolled more.
Yeah.
Like, George needs to get one from Terry Bradshaw. I wonder if Terry Bradshaw's on Cameo.
Okay, stop giving ideas.
George, remember when we got one from the great Danny White? That was the most meaningful thing anyone's ever done for us.
That was beautiful.
God, that was great.
It didn't defeat you a little bit that Danny had to be paid to say anything about you?
No, because we know he would have done it for free.
Yeah, right.
He was saying what he knew needed to be said.
And there just happened to be money
just
attached
happened to
it.
Be money along with it,
Do you guys ever, and I think we all kind of have this, I know we have the survival gene as humans, but have you ever thought if, God forbid, you're homeless one day, how you would live?
Yes.
It's a beating. It's a beating.
I would head out of the city.
You would?
Yeah. I would try to get away from all the traffic, and I would try to go out somewhere. And
but you're getting away from the infrastructure you need to survive, too.
Your resources are going to be pretty limited out of the city unless you can live off the land.
Fish.
So it's like sometimes the show Alone.
Sometimes I can catch those. And there's got to be a...
Okay, well,
if I'm near a lake somewhere, there's got to be some sort of convenience store. Or
I think we can set this up, George. For 1 week, could you live off the land?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this would be a great ticket bid.
No way! There's no way you can.
Oh, yeah.
For 1 week?
For one week.
I don't think
you could. Are you giving me at least a lake to live nearby?
Yeah, we'll give you a lake and we'll give you... Should we give him... I mean,
give me 2 or 3 days of supplies, right?
No.
It'll be like a loan. It'll be like a loan. We'll give you fishing line.
Yeah, we'll give you fishing line and...
I want a complete pole. I have a hard enough time catching fish with
Junior,
the best tackle in the world.
Okay, so here's the question. Do we give him a fishing pole? We give him some tackle. We give him a little fishing outfit,
right? Yeah, I think that's fair.
And we give him a pan in which he can cook in a pot to boil water. Because you probably want to boil that lake water before you drink it.
Yeah. Yeah, a pan to cook the fish, a pot for some water.
Yeah.
Fishing line,
a
pole.
And, of course, a broadcast set up because we'll be on the air that week.
Okay, so I get a bus.
What?
I get a bus to live in then.
A bus?
Yeah, if I got a broadcast, we need
to
have...
Like Alexander Supertramp?
No, we'll send Killer out there, and he'll just show up for broadcast hours and then leave you alone the rest of the time.
All right, John.
We don't even need him for that. Giorgio could just do it with, on clean feet or something like that.
Yeah, that'd actually be better than having Killer there.
Yeah, Killer's a hindrance in this situation. You really think you could live off the land for a week?
Oh, I don't know.
You backed off of that quickly.
Well, I envision just being a little more homeless than just trying to be a survivalist.
Okay, well, what is your idea of homeless out in the country? Well,
I think that'd be even harder.
I don't have a home, but give me a tent and give me a couple gallons of water, and I think I could be fine for a week.
Okay, a tent, couple gallons of water, a pan, and a fishing outfit.
Are you saying Pam or Pam?
And a fishing.
You know what?
Who's Pam?
George, I don't think you could do it because, on a loan, people tap out after like 4 days because they can't cut it out there alone, and they've got that gear.
And they're right next to a
body.
They're like survivalists.
Yeah. And they know, they know how to do it.
Right. Oh, I couldn't do what they do on a loan, but I'm asking for a few favors.
So 1 week, 2 gallons of water, a tent.
Well, we'll negotiate the amount of water.
You said 2 gallons of water.
Give me 4.
Wait, you're negotiating against yourself?
Yeah, maybe not. It'd be a good week, though.
Maybe not. Boy,
come
that
on.
Fell apart.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. I just said maybe, I'll wind up dead. I don't know. We'll find out.
We have to do it, and then we could produce a non-fungible token of the moment.
I don't even know what that means.
For charity.
Stop with non-fungible tokens.
All right, we're going to workshop this.
You're pumping, dumping something over there.
We're going to workshop this, and we'll have an announcement during ticket stock next year. All right, 8:33 on the ticket.